What's going on, everyone? Good morning. Today is Monday, August 19th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. Hope everybody had a great weekend. The Eagles, of course, practiced twice over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. We have pods in the feed from both days, breaking down everything you need to know. Saturday, a blitz-heavy day, so plenty to talk about how the offense handled that. That's in your feed from, you know, early on in the feed. And then on Sunday, a defensive dominating performance from James' favorite player, N'Kobe Dean. Make sure you go check that out. We get a lot more in-depth with everything that happened in practice on Sunday. So, two pods in the feed breaking down the practice, but this pod is about the new week and about what is going to happen this week, specifically what you need to know for Monday. So what's on the schedule for Monday? The Eagles will be back at the NovaCare facility, but they will not be having a traditional practice. They will be having a walkthrough, which means no media there, no tweets, no none of that, no Jalen stats. It'll be a walkthrough closed to the media. And their last walkthrough of training camp, actually, before they take the practice before they have a game this upcoming Saturday against the Vikings. But between then, again, practice slash walkthrough on Monday, and then they'll be back to the normal practices where we can watch and tweet and give all those observations Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And what's crazy is training camp is over after that. So we got three more days of training camp, which means Jalen is three practices away from not throwing an interception all of training camp. That is, I mean, I said it was historic when he got to 158. If he can get to 320 with no interceptions, that would be really, really wild. And safe to say, a record I don't think any quarterback will ever break, to be completely honest. So let's get into some team news before I tell you what you know, the big kind of takeaway from the weekend that you need to know as you start your new week. First, a little bit of house cleaning. The Eagles did make some minor roster moves. They signed whose name I just cannot pronounce. I apologize. Gottlieb Azeedi. Going to be a backup offensive tackle, probably a practice squad guy. But they placed Tyler Hall on reserve injured and waived safety Mekhi Gardner. Two names that at different points I thought had a chance to make the 53-man roster. This could just be Mekhi Gardner is injured, not able to practice, so they had to bring somebody else in. Maybe he comes back on the practice squad, but at this point, I don't think he's going to be on the 53-man roster, obviously. And Tyler Hall on reserve injured, so hopefully that's nothing too serious with him. He had been getting, you know, some pretty decent snaps at nickel corner. So two fringe secondary guys, but, you know, not just obvious cuts, like two guys they liked going down with injury, unfortunately. Speaking of injury, the story of Sunday's practice outside of what happened on the field was how many players were not on the field. The injuries are piling up for this team. I will run through them, not super quick, but there's a lot of them. So I'll have you here all day if I read every single one. So Gabe Hall, the defensive tackle, out, didn't practice with a hamstring injury. Matt Hennessy still dealing with a back injury. He did not play in the preseason game. He is not having a great camp. Just didn't really get a ton of good reps when he was healthy, and now dealing with a back injury. You know, a back is obviously not an ideal injury to be dealing with, especially as an offensive lineman. Really hope he's okay. Temple made, want to see him win. But yeah, that's a tough blow for Matt Hennessy. EJ Jenkins, the backup tight end, who I think has a shot at the 53-man roster. Ton of potential, I think, as a tight end. Has had a really good training camp. He's dealing, unfortunately, with a knee injury. Joseph Ngata, coming off that game where A.J. Brown against the Patriots said he was the player of the game, has now missed both practices with an ankle injury. So unfortunate to see that. Moro Ojamo, the defensive tackle, dealing with a hip injury, didn't practice. Albert O, an abdomen injury, didn't practice. John Ross, unfortunately, dealing with a concussion. Caden Stearns, as we know, not practicing with a knee injury. Johnny Wilson, still out with a concussion. And Tyler Steen, that ankle injury he suffered against the Patriots, has now kept him out of Saturday and Sunday's practice, still on the sideline. Limited, but good to see them back in some capacity. Oren Burks, good to see him practicing. He's still dealing with that knee injury. Grant Calcaterra, a shoulder injury. Cooper DeJean, basically full go at this point, it seems, but listed with a hamstring injury. And Chauncey Gardner-Johnson went back, did some team reps, first team reps on Sunday. So don't want to say he's fully healthy. He's probably still, you know, getting back from that shoulder injury. But him and Cooper have both taken team injuries, and good to see them healthy and good to go. But the big injury news from Sunday was Mekhi Becton, the team's starting right guard. They won't say it, but that's what he is. left practice with an injury. I was not on the side of the field where he was hurt when it happened. But according to reporters around there, he limped off, walked off with trainers. It seems to be a leg injury, whether that's ankle, hamstring, knee. You know, I don't know at this point. By the time you're listening, there could be updates on that. So hopefully the news that we get is good news. But it does not seem like it is going to be good news. It seems like Becton is going to be out for a little bit. I think at this point, the question is, will he play week one? And will he practice enough before then to play? And the concern with that is, as I mentioned, Tyler Steen already dealing with an injury. So their two top right guards are currently going to be out with some version of a lower body injury. And that's not good, obviously. I mean, if you go back and listen to the pod from Sunday, from day 14 of practice, the offensive line was really, really bad. Now, Lane Johnson didn't practice just with a vet day, so he's healthy, just didn't practice, and his value was certainly seen when he's not out there. Fred Johnson, really bad practice. Brett Toth was the starting right guard, didn't play well. Landon Dickerson missed some time. Like, the backup offensive line could end up being the story of the season for this team with all the various injuries they're suffering. Seems like Becton's going to be in and out of the lineup. Steen is dealing with something. You know, Lane has been pretty healthy, but knock on wood, cross your fingers, he is an older guy. Like, their backup offensive line is super important. And as camp has gone on, they have not gotten the play they want from their backups. Like, shout out to Brett Toth for remaining in the NFL, for still being on the team. He cannot be your starting right guard week one in a primetime game against the Packers. Like, that can't be the case, not with all the weapons you have. So they have some work to do. They brought Nick Gates in. You know, he's been getting more and more reps as he kind of works his way up the depth chart. He's with the second team offensive line now. We've talked about Max Sharpring has not really been the signing I think they hoped in terms of feeling like he could be the top guy at multiple spots. And then Matt Hennessy dealing with that back injury. So if Becton is out, like, they got problems. They're going to have to trade for somebody of note too. Not like just sign the best right guard that's available on the street. Like, if Becton is going to be missing a week of camp or more, or God forbid, like into the season, and Tyler Steen is hurt, you have to bring in somebody of substance, somebody that you feel has played in the NFL at a quality level. And it's going to be hard to acquire. Like, it's going to be a potentially decent-sized asset to go get that player. It's hard to find good offensive line play. But the offensive line is the backbone of every team, and that's especially true with this team. When their offensive line is great, they're great. When their offensive line is banged up and they're subbing guys in and out, like, seasons fall apart. As much as we focus on the quarterback, it is the offensive line that normally dictates how good a season is. So with Becton dealing with something, with Steen dealing with something, with Landon in and out of the lineup, their backup offensive line has to improve, and they have to do it quickly, because, you know, in 2 weeks roughly, they'll be on a plane to Brazil, or 2.5 weeks. I mean, the season is right around the corner, and their offensive line, after Sunday's practice, it was crystal clear their backup offensive line is an issue. Fred Johnson, who they thought could be really good, got absolutely abused by Josh Sweat. Now, he could, you know, it's just one day, I get it, but they have to improve their backup offensive line. And that really is, you know, the key takeaway from Sunday with these injuries. They are banged up, and they have to do something about it. So, in a more positive note, potentially more positive note, I wanted to tell you guys about an ESPN article that is interesting from the weekend. Before that, here's a word from our sponsors. Okay, so ESPN wrote an article this past week talking about, or ranking, the NFL position groups from best to worst. So they took each position, offense and defense, and ranked them 1 through 32. I'm just going to get into the offense today, and I don't think you're going to like it, to be completely honest. So at quarterback, they have the Eagles ranked around the league at 11th. Now, here's my issue with that. A, Jalen, if you want to put Jalen 11th, I'm not going to kill you on that. He didn't have a great year last year. He has one great year out of 4 years in the NFL. Like, I understand not putting him 5, 6, like, I get that. But Kenny Pickett is a good backup quarterback. Like, how many teams have a better backup than Kenny Pickett? Is Kenny Pickett an NFL starter? Maybe not, but there are teams out there that have atrocious backups. So I am surprised the Eagles, and look, I don't know how much Tanner McKee is factoring into this, but Tanner McKee in the preseason looks like he's like the best number three quarterback in the NFL. So I am surprised Eagles came in at 11th on that. Running back, Eagles 6th, like, you really got to be taking into account depth here. I'm very, very surprised about that because Saquon, back-to-back 1,000-yard years, back-to-back 10-plus touchdowns, like has been considered one of the best running backs in the NFL during his time here. He just has to stay healthy. I mean, you must be really dinging the backup. I get Gainwell hasn't been special. Shipley's a rookie. You know, I think the Eagles probably belong in the top five on that. And then receiver is the one that I think is the most egregious of all of these. So wide receiver, Eagles at seventh. They have the best set of receiver. They have the best starting duo of receivers in the NFL. There is not another team that has two starting receivers better than A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And I get that depth matters. Again, depth clearly a huge part of the story. But man, to ding them and put them below, like, you know, Chicago, I'm surprised about that. I don't think Seattle belongs ahead of them. Seattle has good receivers. I don't think they belong ahead of the Eagles. Houston, number one. Look, Stephon Diggs, like, they have talent there. San Francisco at two is a joke. San Francisco, their top two receivers are nowhere as good as Eagles' top two receivers. They have depth and they drafted somebody, but man, that is rough. I disagree with that at number seven. Tight end, you know, Dallas Goedert, if you're listening, close your ears. Dallas Goedert and the Eagles tight end, 19th in the NFL when Goedert is arguably a top 7-6 tight end. I mean, this is one of those articles where the Eagles could, you know, yell disrespect here. Like, this might be bulletin board material. And then offensive line, ESPN has Eagles as fifth. I'm okay with that. New center, new guard. You know, I think you're giving a lot of respect there to the tackles and Landon, and they deserve that. But five, I'm good with. But man, 19th at tight end, 7th at receiver, 11th at quarterback. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people would say the Eagles might have the best set of skill players in the NFL. Clearly ESPN, and look, I love a good list. This is no shot at Mike Clay, who wrote it. I certainly respect his opinion. But man, Mike Clay, giving the Eagles some bulletin board material here with this list. So thank you to everybody for listening. As always, super, super appreciate it. I will be back on Tuesday with another Go Birds Daily, and the Eagles will be back on the practice field on Tuesday as well. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And as they say, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.